The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So today is the fourth talk on the Dharma Samadhis, these five qualities that are an integral part of how the Dharma practice unfolds. When we kind of get into the flow of it, when the subtleness, the letting go, the really being present in a deep, connected, intimate way, seems to kind of give life to something which is not necessarily something we do, but is certainly something we create the conditions for and that we allow to bubble up. And today the topic is happiness, and happiness is maybe not the best translation. And all these words, you're welcome to find your own word that maybe fits better. What's important is not so much the exact word, but that you appreciate the sequence of how there's a settling or a deepening opening or a kind of a going from more activated states to more sublime and wonderful, quieter, harmonious, unified, connected states. So that to go from gladness, which is a little bit more evaluative and maybe involves more thinking, and to some deeper connection that comes with stronger concentration, stronger settledness, to joy, and how that flows and moves to a kind of tranquility, to that flows now to kind of a happiness. And then tomorrow I'll talk about how that opens up to concentration. It's that sequence. It's that flow, which is actually one of the important things to understand. And if you understand that is a kind of going from more active states of being to more quieter and peaceful states, more coarser states to more sublime states, there's a flow. And the Buddha uses the example of the flow of a river, water down a mountainside. So one example he gives is where the water gets, so the rain falls on the mountainside, the raindrops come together to create little, you know, rivulets or streams, teeny little, you know, and those kind of go into little creeks, to streams, to rivers. And as long as it's high up in creeks with boulders and stuff, it's very noisy. But when it comes down into it gets really big and down into the plains of India, it flows quietly and fully. And so that we're kind of going from something that's a little bit noisier in the mind and the body to a harmony of a big river that just kind of flowing quietly along. And we're in that stream, in that current. So this movement from gladness to through happiness and then concentration is actually something's getting bigger and fuller, but quieter and stiller. So to go from coarse to more quiet is not becoming more diminished as a human being, it's actually becoming fuller. So it's that sequence which is important, rather than necessarily knowing exactly what each of these states are. So that gives you some room to choose your own English word that you associate with it. You put you in the ballpark, the words that I offer, and then how is it for you personally? And I suspect for each person, there's a little different way these things are felt and experienced, and maybe you would choose different words. And at different times, maybe different, it's experienced a little bit more differently. So when I get to happiness, sukha, sometimes I like to just call it well-being, because that seems like a very broad word that allows all kinds of things to fit into it, and people can find themselves a little bit easier than the English word happiness. But happiness is things like joy and happiness, some people will point out, come to us in a different way than pleasure. That pleasure is something we can do for ourselves. And you can go out and drink alcohol for the pleasure of it. You can go out and get a massage maybe, or stand in the sun, or all kinds of things that you can do to get pleasure. And you can even pay for pleasure. But joy, and even more so happiness, takes more than doing something. Deep contentment, deep feeling of satisfaction and well-being cannot be bought, cannot be, you know, made to happen. It's not like, you know, let's go out and get some deep satisfaction by buying more, or, you know, getting more, doing more world experiences or something. There's something about allowing something beyond our own little actions are the wellsprings of some of the deepest forms of happiness and well-beings we can have. And so in Buddhism, it's a lot about creating conditions. And so mindfulness and being settled and meditation are creating the conditions. Letting go is creating the conditions for this flow of the Dharma Samadhi to happen within us. At some point, it comes to what's called in Pali, Sukha. And Sukha, I like to translate it as happiness. There's other choices for it. And depends what people's association with the word happy is, but the it's something very sublime, and it's very embodied. It's said that the joy that happens earlier in this flow is more mental, or kind of a mental thrill that might kind of thrill the whole body, but it's more like a thrill or excitement a little bit, of really being connected and involved and in the flow of it all. But whereas happiness, that excitement has been tranquilized, become calmer, and now there's something much more sublime. And people often report about it that it feels very embodied, this happiness. And because it has such a strong embodied feeling, Bhikkhu Bodhi, the translator, in this context, will translate sukha as pleasure. But pleasure to me has whole different connotations than what's going on here, where there's this deep wellspring of sublime sense of deliciousness and calm, and you know, the kind of feeling of sitting on a maybe cold day and coming in a warm room and having, you know, hot chocolate or something, and just really feeling content and happy and settled. You know, and to say that's pleasant or has pleasure seems to miss a lot of what, you know, it's happening there. And now this happiness that comes with the, it's not the goal exactly, but it's considered a little bit the means. But if you think of it too much as the means and make it kind of a little bit more, a technique to get somewhere, then you lose the connection to the deeper parts of it. We have to let go so fully of even wanting or thinking about using it to get somewhere else. However, it is really a means to move further and go deeper. And the purpose of this happiness is a deep sense of unification, of concentration. But that's not the purpose either. The purpose is to become free. The purpose is to see deeply, see things as they are, in such a way that we can let go of the clingings, the holdings, the cravings, the fears that we're stuck with. And so happiness is a stepping stone. And so, but we have to allow ourselves to feel it. And I had the, you know, silly circumstance of trying to avoid happiness and joy in practice because I thought it was not really the point. I thought it was kind of silly to be happy or joyful, and I wanted to go to places where it was really deep and serious somehow. But that was silly because you have to go, happiness, well-being is kind of a door to going deeper. And of course, it's not easy to feel this well-being or happiness, and sometimes it can be months and years before it really opens up, and we have to really appreciate the power of mindfulness in all circumstances of our life and not be ahead of ourselves to looking for the happiness. But at the same time, we want to know that happiness is part of the path. And so we want to kind of be able to get out of the way. We want to be able to allow it and recognize it and get out of the way so that flow can come, so we can avail ourselves of well-being. And it's my theory that for most people, there's much more joy, much more tranquility, much more happiness, contentment, satisfaction, available at any given moment than most people avail themselves of. That we're so caught up in our thoughts, our concerns, our projections in the future, our fantasies, our desires, our fears, our concerns over things, that they sometimes predominate in such a strong way that the simple joys, the simple happinesses that are here, that are available, we don't avail ourselves of them. And there can be very strong resistance that people have to becoming happy. Some people don't want to experience too much happiness because it's bad luck. Something that bad is going to happen if we do that. Or we don't deserve it. Or people resist it because in order to be a good person, or to be to do the right thing for family, the world, we have to worry more. We have to be alarmed and concerned and show that everything has to be taken care of. I have to do things. And we don't have time. I can't focus on myself. I have to just focus on the disaster that's out there in the world. That can come from a very good place to have that kind of orientation. But to appreciate, to discover that we can, in fact, take care of ourselves and the world from this place of happiness, from this place of being settled, and so to avail ourselves of greater happiness, greater well-being, to take the little bit of time sometimes it takes. Sometimes it doesn't take much. That to realize that maybe you're on a traffic light with a car and you realize, wait a minute, I have 15 seconds to sit here. Why don't I simply relax here and feel something that feels good at this moment, something that feels some deeper satisfaction. And then I can be concerned about driving once the light turns green. And so as the practice, as our life unfolds in the Dharma with mindfulness, there are layers and layers of well-being and happiness that we can begin to appreciate. And that with time, that sense of happiness becomes stronger and bigger and fuller. And it becomes a place that we live in or come from. A place where friendliness and kindness and compassion and peace can arise from. That's very difficult if we center our life on our thinking. With all the kinds of crazy ways that many of us can think, to center our life in a deeper place, a wellsprings of well-being, and then learn that that is a place where we can effectively work for justice, effectively work with compassion, effectively care for other people, effectively be a caring and actively involved in the welfare of our communities. The place from which we can engage in difficult conversations with others, including the kind of conversations around racism and politics that are becoming more and more important for us to deal with and look at. But not to sacrifice our well-being, but to realize that is a place where actually we can be more effective in the long term than if we come from anger and fear. And then eventually, this happiness leads to liberation and freedom. It's a foundation for it. And that is considered a whole different degree of happiness. Sometimes in Buddhism it's called Mahasukha, great happiness. And so may your greater familiarity, your greater exploration, investigation, your greater contact with well-being and happiness lead to great happiness for you and for others as well. And you might, in the next 24 hours, see if you can kind of settle in and open up and avail yourself of happinesses that are not as excited as joy, but are more sublime, more settled, more contented, more kind of embodiedly satisfying, and see what it's like that more of the day is connected to it. Have reminders that remind you, come back, open to something here. So thank you. I appreciate it, and I look forward to our time tomorrow. And tomorrow we'll do a Zoom, we'll move at 7:45 over to a Zoom room and have a YouTube, this YouTube community that we're creating over these months. We'll have a YouTube community meeting, and you're welcome to come for as long as it works for you. And as part of that, we'll maybe answer some questions, but also we'll have a time for breakouts groups. And so you get to meet some of the other people you're saying hello to in the chat. You're seeing their names, and also that maybe you've never met before, and have a few minutes together. So thank you so much.